John chapter 20, and then we'll be going to 1 John just for a second. John chapter number 20, look at verse number 30. John 20 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Do you see that in John? John says, hey, I wrote the book of St. John. Basically, writing all of these things in 21 chapters, I wrote these things that you would believe. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. Don't want anybody to miss heaven. I wrote all of these things here that you might believe, and that in believing, that you might have life through his name. That's what he said. He said that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. The most important thing, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life is the decision and coming to the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. No other decision will be on top of that one. That'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your whole life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. St. John said, I wrote these things that you'd believe. Now look at 1 John. 1 John 5. That's over toward the end of the book, or the Bible. 1 John. That comes right before 2 John. Now look at 1 John chapter 5. John 20, of course, same writer here, St. John, and then John writes 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And then in John 20, he says, I wrote these things that you might believe. I want you to be saved. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. You see that? St. John, he says, I wrote those things down so you'd believe. I'm writing 1 John to all of you folks in here that already believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that ye may know some things. Number one, you ought to know you're saved. It ought not be a hope so, maybe so, wait till I get there kind of thing. You ought to know in this room, whether you're a member of Holy Hills Baptist Church or not, makes no difference. Makes no difference where you're a member. Makes no difference where your baptismal certificate was done. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. You need to know it. It's not a hope-so thing. You say, well, you say, well, I don't know. I think I am. You ought not be able to think you are. You ought to know you are. You say, well, I hope I am. Well, you ever ask yourself, hey, have you ever been born the first time? Well, I hope so. Well, I think so. Maybe so. How dumb is that? Everybody in here, just by looking, you're breathing. I know you've been born the first time. I know that for sure. It's not wait till you get to heaven to see if you've been born before. Now, have you been born again? Well, I don't know. You can't know that kind of thing. You just have to wait, and your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. You get up there, and then if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then the Lord will let you go to heaven. That's baloney. So if you know you've been saved the first time, born the first time, Lord, forgive me. I didn't get my nap this afternoon. If you know you've been born the first time, then you ought to know for sure you've been born the second time. John 20, he says, I wrote these things that you'll know, or you, that you might believe. Now, 1 John says, I'm writing these things of you already believe that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, there are some birthmarks. There's some ways to tell, real quick. There's some ways to tell if you've been saved or not. There's some things, there's some ways to tell. 1 John is full of a lot of different things. Matter of fact, 1 John chapter 1 verse 4 says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So 1 John, he said, he wrote this to promote joy in our lives. 1 John chapter 2 verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. So he writes 1 John to promote joy, to prevent sin. To promote joy, to prevent sin. And then 1 John chapter 2 verse 26 says, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So he wrote to promote joy. He wrote to prevent sin. He wrote to protect the saints. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we've already read it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. That's to provide assurance. So 1 John is full of things. To promote joy, to prevent sin, to protect the saints, to provide assurance. There's some sayings in 1 John that gives us some assurance. You know, I go to the grocery store or go to Walmart or wherever, and I got my boys with me, and or even Kayla. Everybody, they say, boy, they look at Kayla, my daughter. They look at Kayla and say, boy, that's Brother Jeremy with her. I say, man, that's Brother Jeremy. That's what Brother Jeremy would look like with hair. Or if you saw some of Dalton's baby pictures and then some of my baby pictures, say, oh boy, that's his daddy made over. Y'all ever heard that? So there are some resemblances with your first birth. People say, well, you look like your mama. Oh, you look like your daddy. Oh, you don't look like either one. You know, whatever. Whatever they say about you, they say, hey, you've got some resemblances. Oh, you look like your grandma. Oh, you take from your mother's side. Oh, you get from your daddy's side on this. Well, if that's true, and it is, then wouldn't it be true to say a saved person ought to look like their spiritual father? Ought to act like, ought to have some resemblances, ought to do some things that would resemble the Heavenly Father. If that's not true, you say, there's no way so-and-so can be so, this kid, you know, their kid, they don't even look. And people say, well, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. And they don't a bit more look like the Heavenly Father than a man on the moon. They don't a bit more look like a Christian. They don't talk like a Christian. They don't smell like one. They smell like Lazarus, been dead for 4 days, and they stinketh. You say, why do you do stuff like that? Well, some of you half asleep, you have to do that to keep everybody awake. And so there ought to be some resemblances. There ought to be some things that would, birthmarks of a believer. And so I want you to look. Look at 1 John chapter 2 real quick. 1 John chapter 2. Look at this. About verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now I know these are drawing some spiritual application. I understand all of that. But here, if you are saved, if you are a child of God, if you have been born again, ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be a birthmark of wanting to obey and do the will of God. if you've been saved. You say, preacher, I wonder if I'm saved. I'm fixing to tell you. You'll have some birthmarks. A birthmark of obedience if you have a desire. You say, do you always follow? No, I don't know. I have a desire to obey and do God's will. I have a desire to do that. So there ought to be a birth. You say, I have no desire to do the things of God, have no desire to read the Bible, have no desire to do those things. You might want to check up. You don't have any character traits of the Heavenly Father. So I've been saved. Well, everybody says they've been saved. You going to heaven? Everybody in Dyersburg, Tennessee is going to heaven. Just ask them. You know, go to every funeral that you've ever been to, everybody's going to heaven. Every funeral you've been to, you've never been to a lost person's funeral. Y'all help me now, come on. Everybody we've been to, oh boy, I'm telling you what, they're up there fishing with the Lord. Oh, they're up there in that race car in the sky. Whatever relates to them down here. Oh, they're up there with, you know, Granny and Papa and all them. Let me help you. The only way to go to heaven is to trust who? Jesus Christ. If you want to go to hell, do anything else. Trust anything else, you can go to hell. If you want to go to heaven, you got to trust Christ. And if you have trusted Christ, then there's going to be some birthmark. You'll have a desire to walk in obedience to His Word. Now, look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. And about verse 14, we know. See, John knows a bunch of stuff. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the... He that loveth not his brother abideth in what? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Oh, my goodness. Say, are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. Well, won't you come down here and hold it? I don't like none of them people. I can't stand none of them people. Don't like them. There's a bunch of hypocrites. Well, we got room for one more. I went down there and nobody talked to me. Well, how many times have you been to Walmart and nobody talked to you? I went down there and they got my parking spot. How many times you went to Walmart and somebody swooped in front of you and got your parking spot? And you went back to Walmart the next day. But it's funny how church don't match up with Walmart. We overlook a lot of things at Walmart. Somebody run their buggy all up on your leg. That's okay. One little kid runs over your church. I ain't going back there. I tell you what, they can't control their kids or nothing. I mean, just give the church as much courtesy as you do Walmart. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm saying, well, I don't want to go. I don't like them people. I don't even like hanging around them people. Well, who do you like hanging around? That'll tell you a whole lot of the character traits you might have. I'll be honest. I like hanging around folks down here. Now, I know some of you got to go to work and you have to work with people. I understand that's not saved. They don't know the Lord like we do. I understand that. And you have to do those things. But I'm telling you, when you want to hang out with them and you want to do them and talk the way they do and drink stuff they drink and all that, and you don't want to come down here and fellowship with the brethren and sisters in Christ, That's the birthmark of a believer. Amen. And so you got to love His Word, and you're to have love for the brethren. And that love is, love is seen and not just said. Amen. Well, look at 1 John chapter 3. We're there. Look at about verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. And we know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Boy, ain't that good. Amen. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither know Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his sin remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now I understand this talking about the inner man. Your inner man. You're saved, inner man, you can't sin. If you're saved, you're inside. Jesus Christ lives in there, and you can't sin. You say, but I have sinned since I've been saved. Well, you might want to get your old nature hooked up with your new nature, and your old nature needs to act like your new nature on the inside. And if not, you need to put your old nature, and you need to go out to the graveyard, get you a cemetery plot, bury your old man, and say, you stay there. Don't you get up. Don't you say a word. I don't want to hear from you. We're going to live after the inner man. Hey, there ought to be, you ought to look like, there ought to be some Christ-likeness about you if you're saved. Amen. Amen. I call home now. I call Tracy's phone, and Kayla will answer the phone. And Kayla sounds like Tracy. And I'm telling her everything I need to do, and then Kayla's just going along with it just to aggravate me. Because that aggravates me. It aggravates me when I call somebody else answers the phone. If I wanted to talk to the other person, I'd have called your number. I called Mark yesterday, and Sarah answers the phone. I said, I didn't call your number. She knows it aggravates me too. But anyway, so my point is, trying to get to my point, sometimes a boy, when he gets older, he sounds like his daddy on the phone. Same voice inflection, same everything. Girls sound like their mamas when they're on the telephone. You know what that means? That means the fruit don't fall far from the tree. That means you ought to sound like your spiritual father when you talk out in public. You ought to sound and resemble, have the same voice in place. You ought to know about this Bible so much. You can... I always use illustrations of my mom and dad because that's all I got. I mean, I live with them, you know. And me and mama been there, and we've... y'all don't get mad at me. Y'all don't criticize me. Don't fire me tonight. Don't vote me out, okay? But me and mama get up on Saturday morning and watch wrestling, Channel 5. Somebody say amen. You know, back when they was halfway decent and you didn't have all the garbage to deal with. Come on now. I mean, hey, Saturday morning, come on. It was either cartoons or wrestling, Channel 5. Come on. Here come Daddy walking through. He'd pass. Here he'd go. Start quoting scripture. He'd start reading verse. I'm telling you what, he'd start preaching. Me and mama just look go, is that all he does is preach? I mean, he's just preaching. You know, he didn't get his sermon out Sunday. I mean, now he's got to come on and preach to us. My point is, what is on the inside will come out naturally. It will come out. And if it doesn't naturally come out, listen, folks, you plant an apple tree, you don't have to do anything. Just do what you're supposed to do. Water that thing, fertilize it. It will do what it's supposed to do. It'll produce apples. I said, well, I don't produce fruit. All of my fruit's on the inside. Well, an apple tree, their fruit comes on the outside. They don't have fruit on the inside. It comes outside. What's on the inside of you will come out. Amen. And the birthmark of a believer, what's on the inside comes out. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'll pray. I say, Lord, I need my heart right. I need my inside, my heart to be right. I want it right with you. And I'm telling you, it won't be before lunchtime. And something will happen, and boy, something will rise up in me. And I mean, my ears will get red, the back of my neck will get red. I mean, hair starts growing on the back of my neck. And God says, yeah, I'm trying to get it out. That's coming out loud and clear. Now, y'all don't shout me down while we're preaching good. Birthmark of a believer, if you're saved, you ought to know it. It ought not be, well, I'm thinking, or I'm hoping so, or I'm maybe a sowing, or, you know. Now, let me give you a couple more real quick before we go eat cookies. 1 John chapter 4, verse 13 says this. Hereby know we, boy, John knows a bunch of stuff. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His what? Spirit. Listen, if you're saved in this room right now, you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And I've given this illustration before, I'm going to give it to you again. It's like a built-in metal detector. You go through the metal detector at the airport, you walk in, you got keys in your pocket, and that thing, you go in, it goes beep, 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 beep. And the officer says, come back here, you know, and go through again. Ready, anything else? You might be a belt buckle, take your belt. And you go through there again, beep, 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 beep. When you're saved, you got a metal detector on the inside. And when the first time you sin after you get saved, beep, 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 beep. What's that? I ain't never heard that before. I used to say that word and nothing went off. But for the first time I said it and something went off on the inside and I feel horrible. That's the birthmark of a believer. If something bothers you, you do something and it don't bother you and it ain't bothered you since you've been saved, you may not have a metal detector. Called the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of you. And somehow, that doesn't mean we don't sin. Yes, we do. But now when we sin, you got a metal detector that goes off. Beep, 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 beep. Something comes on the television that you used to watch all the time, and now you don't need to be watching it. Now it comes on, and something happens on there, and something on the inside goes, beep, beep, beep. We didn't turn that. Well, you had no desire to turn it before you got saved. Now you got a desire to turn it. Why? There's somebody living on the inside of you. Some of y'all look like y'all ain't had no metal detector in a while. Listen, I'm telling you, it bothers me when I sin. And if it don't bother you and you can go on and live your life like nothing ever happened, and boy, I'm telling you what, you think you're saved, and are you saved? You look over your mama and go, yo, mama, when was that I got saved? You ain't saved. You ain't got to ask your mama when you got saved. You'll tell your mama when you got saved. If you got saved. Amen. Birthmark of the Holy Spirit of God. And then you've got the witness there in chapter 5. There's a witness. The witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Verse 9. Witness of God is greater. There's something on the inside of you. And verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. You already believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You say, preacher, I don't know I'm saved. Well, you better get to knowing. Because we could check out of here for too much longer. Yeah, we could check out of here. All we're doing is waiting on a trumpet. We're not waiting on a certain missile to go off over in the Middle East. We're not even studying all that. All of that's got its play in the book, in the Bible. We understand that, and that's all coming. But most of that stuff that's coming is building up to the second coming, the Battle of Armageddon. And we 7 years on this side of that. So every time you see something over there and you think, boy, it's really getting close, you're actually 7 years closer than what you really think you are. Because everything that's going on over there, is all that thing is doing is building up. All these nations are getting ready, and they're going to pounce on the nation of Israel. And it's going to be a battle of Armageddon, nation against nation, kindred against kindred. And here we go, Matthew 24, all over again. But we're 7 years closer than that. We're waiting on a trumpet to sound. And you better get ready. Say, preacher, I don't know. You better know. John said he knew. If John can know, Paul can know, some of these guys in the Bible can know, you can know. Are you saved? Well, I hope so. Maybe so. I think so. Well, are you married? Well, I think so. I'm afraid so. When I ask this question, are you saved? You 100% sure you're saved? Something on the inside of you, if you have the witness, if you have the birthmark of a believer, something on the inside of you says, preacher, I know where I got saved. I know where I asked Him to come in my heart and save me. I know for sure. I may not have always lived right. I may not have always done right. I know I can take you to the spot. I can take you to the place. I don't remember the date. I don't remember the time. I don't remember what month it was. But I can tell you in my heart, there is where I asked Him and told Him I was a sinner. And He saved my soul right there. If that don't happen on the inside of you, you need to check up. You say, preacher, I'm 60-something years old. It don't make any difference. You still need to check up. I've been in church all my life. Makes no difference. Makes no difference. You've been in church. I asked somebody one time, you say, oh yeah, I've always been a Christian. No, you hadn't always been a Christian. You ain't always been a Christian. Oh, preacher, don't you know we're all God's children? No, we're not all God's children. We're all God's creation. We're not all God's children. Only those that accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, and trusted Him. If you want to go to heaven, you trust Christ. If you want to go to hell, anything else will do. And make sure you're saved. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for what You've showed us in the Bible. Simple, simple stuff. Nothing new under the sun. But Lord, I sure do thank You for giving us that assurance that we can know. We go to bed tonight, lay our head down on the pillow. We take our last breath in the middle of the night. Lord, we'll open our eyes and see You. God, what a blessing. What a blessing it is. God, I pray somebody in this room right now don't know You. They don't know they're saved. They don't have 100% assurance. Lord, I pray that You give them that assurance tonight. Give them a place. Give them a time. Give them a place where they can go to in their mind's eye. Mind's heart, say, that's where I got saved. Don't let the devil steal them of that assurance. I pray that You do that now for us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Won't you stand to your feet? If you need to come pray about something, come on. We're not going to tarry very long, but you come if you need to pray about something. Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. Well, you need to know. John said you can know. He said you can know. The Bible says you can know. You can know. It sure is good to be saved, isn't it? Sure is good to be saved, ain't it? Sure is good to know it, too.